Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome. So good to be with you, Jane. Silk for a change. Just somebody different for you to tune into. Just so glad to be with you. Just so much going on. I don't know even where to start. It's been a while. I've been on assignment. I've been doing so many different things. But I felt necessary because, you know, we are in election year, and there are so many problems in our country that some people just don't want to face, that it's kind of scary right now. I mean, I can't even believe actually that I'm saying that I'm scared with about the problems that are going on in our country and whether or not our country can handle it. That's something I don't know if I've ever said that in a long time. But currently, the person who is guiding this country, a wobbly, creepy old man with questionable morals and scruples, his finger is on that button. Now, that is also extremely scary. And if it's not, then whose is? I've just been wondering that. Now, let me find out from our producer. We're supposed to have Jake Lang, a January 6th prisoner, calling from prison, I believe. Wow. Really? He's on lockdown. Ha. Huh. Wow, Jake, can you tell my audience that, please? Ah, okay. We're having a little technical difficulties right now, but I've just been told in my ear from one of our producers that Jake Lang, protester from January 6th, who is still in prison, who has asked listeners to visit this website, sponsorj6.org. Again, that's sponsorj6.org. He is a political prisoner held by the Biden regime, and he has just spent his fourth birthday in jail, his 26th, 27th, 28th, and now he's 29 years old. He hasn't had a trial. He has been moved to a different prison, I believe, in North Carolina, from what I've been told, and a harder prison, a tougher prison, a more a prison filled with a lot worse prisoners than Jake Lang, for expressing his disbelief that somebody can get voted in this country with 94% of the vote after midnight. Never happened before in this country. We always knew before we went to bed, you know, even in the media, you know, there was a projection or somebody called something. And of course, after midnight, there would be votes trickling in. That was a long time ago. Remember those times when we had, you know, ballots that mattered and that were not cheated ballots or mail-in ballots that had no signatures or didn't have a fold, because a lot of ballots in the last election were counted without a fold. And that's the whole idea about a ballot: to know that it's real, it has to be folded. Okay, let's talk about some of this January 6th. We know that the testimony in January 6th, a lot of it was suppressed, so that when the January 6th made a recommendation to the DOJ, the DOJ was more than willing to go down and hunt prisoners with facial recognition. They went ahead and looked at video, and some of these prisoners were outside. Okay, some of these prisoners didn't even go inside to the rotunda, and the ones that did, it's the people's house, for goodness sakes. And if they had no weapons, and if they were just peacefully protesting, why are they in jail hence 4 years down the line? Okay, now Trump's White House Deputy Chief of Staff at the time that this was going, before, you know, and during, right after the election until Trump left the White House, his Deputy Chief of Staff, Anthony Arenado, testified that Donald Trump pushed for 10,000 national troops to protect the nation's capital before January 6th happened, okay? And the interview also shows that the White House frustration with the slow deployment of assistance, and that the Select Committee conducted this interview in January 2022, but never released it. I mean, Wow. You know, Congress, when they want to, they can make a committee happen. Boom, whammo, bammo. Thank you, mammo. It's done. It's produced. And we're having testimony, okay? Because why? They couldn't do it during his term. So they figured once he left office, let's try to get him any way we can. Now, whether you believe it or not, the whistleblowers from the FBI, and this is the truth, and there is a great saying, if it can be destroyed by the truth, it deserves to be destroyed by the truth. That is a saying by Carl Sagan. I'm not going to go into, if you don't know who that is, folks, look it up. That's what we have the internet for. But anyway, it's true. The Democrats push their truth, but it can all be destroyed. It's a mirror. It's not there. It's really just smoke and mirrors. They want you to believe this, and because having the mainstream media and most of the newspapers in their pockets, they are able to manipulate the verbiage and the wording that comes out of the White House, that goes into the mainstream media, that goes into the telly, that you see, whether it's on NBC, MSNBC, CNN, or Huffington Post, or Politico, or wherever, okay? But yes, the truth has started to seep out, okay? And we're realizing now that we have been fooled. The testimony that had two Republicans that were very, very plain as day, what they call Trump haters, made sure that any testimony that would favor Trump did not see the light of day, okay? One of the top takeaways from the January committee staffer asked Arenado, when it comes to the National Guard statement about having 10,000 troops or any other number of troops, do you recall any discussion prior to the 6th of January about whether and how many National Guard troops to deploy on January 6th? And that was the question by the staffer. And Arenado then surprised the committee by noting he did recall a conversation between Meadows and Mayor Bowser of Washington, D.C. He was on the phone with her and wanted to make sure she had everything that she needed, Arenado told investigators. Now, we know this for a fact because the FBI whistleblowers who came forward, and then, of course, they were either demoted, some were let go, or fired for circumstances, you know, beyond anybody's control. Why? Because we're allowed to say when our government agencies are doing something wrong, but when it comes to the light of day, oh my goodness, you can't stay anymore. That institution that you work for can't keep you, because after all, we don't want a tattletale that's telling tales about the truth and about all the going-ons behind the scene, like fake pipe bombs all over Washington, D.C., planted by FBI, but told Trump supporters, okay? And FBI, BLM, Antifa dressing up as Trump supporters so that they can be arrested and then, you know, subsequently let go. But then the real Trump supporters being arrested, hence Jake Lang, a protester, not a violent protester, in jail for 4 years now, his fourth birthday, with no due process. If I didn't know any better, I would think he was a Gitmo prisoner. You know, really. But what I am angry about Trump, and we have a former advisor of his coming up, that I would like to ask him why, when he got into the White House, when he knew that the media had suppressed so much information in 2016, in the summer of 2016, when Hunter Biden's laptop became public knowledge, but then the information went away and what was on the laptop went away. Of course, it was the summer of 2016. The election was only months away. So goodness gracious, we couldn't possibly allow that information to get out. But lo and behold, over 37% to 40%, as soon as the election was over and it started leaking out, said at that time they wouldn't have voted for Biden if they knew. And only a couple of years later, when some of the pictures came out and everything, and go to the Main Street Facebook later today, tomorrow, Main Street Radio Network, that is, our Facebook page, and you'll see we have links there to photographs now, over 10,000 photographs that were taken from Hunter Biden's laptop that are now in the public domain. And let me tell you something. after 2 years after Trump was in office, 60% said they would not have voted for Biden if they knew what had been on that laptop. And then you combine what we know about what happened in 2020 and, oh my God, okay? So there is mischief afoot, and that's putting it really, really nicely, excuse me, because we also know that we do have a constitution, you know. I mean, I know the Democrats just like use it for toilet paper in their restrooms when they run out of the real thing, but they should have it plastered in every Democratic bathroom and every Democratic lawmaker's office, especially the one about our five basic freedoms, and especially the one where bearing arms is okay, and free speech, and free press, and information. You know, we're supposed to have all these rights, but yet under this regime, and it is a regime in my opinion, we don't. We are thrown in jail without due process, and we have a former president being gone after. It's scary.
Department of Transportation's Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, or FMCSA, is now accepting applications for 5 federal grant opportunities to enhance commercial motor vehicle safety. By investing in these projects, FMCSA envisions safer highways, reduced crashes, and a more secure transportation system. These grants will also make commercial vehicle driving safer and more efficient, while creating opportunities for our tribal communities, veterans and military families, and others within the trucking industry. Together, we can significantly reduce serious injuries and deaths on our nation's roadways. Prospective applicants are encouraged to learn more about these grant opportunities and how to apply at fmcsa.dot.gov/grants. Applications are due by April 19th. Those within our tribal communities are encouraged to submit applications for these grants. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
Easter and springtime are just around the corner, and I've got some great ideas. If you're looking for creative play, we've got the one count scribble scrubbies from Crayola, 2 washable markers, scrub brush. Kids can do it over and over again, wash them off, clean slate, repeat play value. For a little bit of water play, check out the Hatchimals Alive Make a Splash play set. 2 exclusive characters. You're going to hatch them in the water in the tub that's included. Really fun, and you've got these 2 exclusive characters, a little bit of collectability there. For the Thomas and Friends paint delivery set, we've got a motorized train that's going to go around the track. He's going to get stuck on the bridge. It's going to knock some paint cans over, really engaging kids in that imaginative play. For fans of Gabby's Dollhouse, there's a brand new season out. This is the perfect party bus. It's going to bring the setting to life. We've got a little disco stage. Gabby and DJ Catnip are ready to rock. If you're looking to get kids up and moving, check out the kid-powered go-kart from Grazer. This is the Crazy Kart Shuffle, and it's super easy to use. 5 adjustments, so it's going to grow with your kid. You can head over to thegeniusofplay.org to learn more.
Remote work environments have given employees increased freedom and flexibility. With that comes a variety of security risks. With employees no longer tied to the office infrastructure, IT must securely manage remote employees' devices no matter where they are. A user's device can create an opportunity for hackers to breach an organization. That device must also easily connect users to IT resources so they can be productive. The Open Directory platform provider JumpCloud offers the solution for successful device management. JumpCloud VP Eric Brown.
With JumpCloud, you can manage your entire fleet, regardless of operating system or location, and create a scalable device management foundation. IT personnel can manage all types of devices from a single cloud console, and employees get to work on their preferred devices. JumpCloud helps you achieve compliance, monitor events, manage device data, enforce policies, patch machines, and more.
To learn more, visit jumpcloud.com.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano.
Hey, Steve! It's now a good time?
No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
I'm here to talk about the left's soft bigotry of low expectations. Because it's the Democrat Party, not the Republican Party, that thinks so little of Black Americans and people of color that they make the case that being Black in America means we can't obtain a government ID to vote. And that's not only a ridiculous assertion, it's demeaning and it's insulting. When it comes down to it, many of my colleagues on the left like to pretend that we're still living in the 1950s. Well, we're not. It's 2024, and I know what year it is because I've been Black for just over 40 years. And I'm also the son of a retired lieutenant colonel who grew up in a segregated South. You see, my parents grew up in a Jim Crow South in the 50s and 60s in New Orleans, Louisiana. Now, my colleagues on the left like to say that common sense voting laws, including requiring a government-issued ID, are racist, discriminatory, and burdensome. Do you know what my father had back in the 40s and 50s before it was even cool? A government-issued ID.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Okay, that was bravo, bravo, bravo. Okay, that was Congressman Wesley Hunt from the great state of Texas. And okay, he's a Republican and about low expectations of voter ID. Do you know how easy? I had to renew my driver's license recently. So every five, you know, they let you do it like once or twice online. But then after about 10 years or something, you have to get a new picture. But when you do it online, you can get a voter ID, or you can get an ID card, a regular ID card. And as if you have an ID card that doesn't cost anything, and even if it costs $10, so many low-income families, and I'm not even talking about Blacks, I'm talking about low income across the spectrum, okay? I'm not talking about right now color, I'm talking about totally across the spectrum. They have smartphones. You know, $1,200 plus smartphones. So if they have a smartphone, trust me, they can spend $10 and get an ID. What Congressman Hunt is saying is absolutely right. How absolutely insulting to say that, you know, it's, you're asking somebody to get a voter ID, you're being racist. So if somebody says to me, you know, why don't you have a voter ID? I should look at them and say, you're racist? Why? It's a question, okay? And what's wrong with that question? And what's wrong with having a card? What's wrong with having something other than just a driver's license? You know, let me tell you something. It's kind of scary because a driver's license is like an in-country passport. All right, you need a passport to go overseas. Well, in America, your driver's license acts on that. And now you can get a federal driver's license, a driver's license that's accepted as a federal ID on your driver's license at the same time. So there you go. You've knocked out two things at one time. All right. So you're in this country, you go from state to state, your driver's license can act as your ID. And in your own state, there's so many things you can do with a driver's license and other places as well. So we need a more secure system for our voting, because you have cities in this state, in this country, where they're called sanctuary cities, where they allow illegal immigrants cash cards, taxpayer cash cards, empty rooms in hotels. Wow, the homeless should get American homeless and veterans that have come back that have been rejected. They live on the street, but our illegal immigrants are not, okay? They get to stay in hotels that the government takes over and says, hey, we're taking over and paying you X amount of room. Screw you, I don't care if you make a profit or not, we're sticking the illegal population in there. Mm-hmm. And make matters worse, which I just found out this past week, which I didn't know, but I had to do a deep dive, and I did go ahead and secure this information. And I'm sure if you go ahead and Google this information, or DuckDuckGo, or you know, Firefox, or whatever browser you use, I'm sure you'll find out that this current president, this questionable president, and I'm sorry, I do write about his pedophile tendencies with his daughter, with young girls. Look at all the footage. There's tons of footage online with people coming to the White House with their young children, and you see young children cringing, little girls cringing as he puts his hands on their shoulders and rubs them. As somebody who was sexually molested by an older man, trust me, that's not fun, okay? Not fun at all, not cool at all. But this man, this creepy Joe, sent American aircraft to Central America and brought 300 plus thousand illegals to this country. Yes, yes, you heard me. Sounds ridiculous, right? No, it's not, but it is true. Yes, it's ridiculous, but no, it's not ridiculous because why? They're cheap votes, okay? On arrival, they get cash cards. They get situated in whatever state they do. And of course, you have governors in some states overwhelmed and are flying them somewhere else. Good. Good. Let those taxpayers in those states be so burdened they're choking, and then they realize what the rest of us are saying. We are allowed in this country to have a secure border. Over 197 countries in the world, and 195 of them have border protection, okay? Two of them are so small, I forgot even the name, I'm sorry. You can, blast me, info, or, at mainstreamradionetwork.com, do whatever you want. But really, what I'm saying is it's shameful. It's very, very shameful. We have open borders, and we should have secure borders. We should have a merit-based immigration system, like our neighbors in Canada, like Australia, like a lot of other countries. But all countries have borders, and they're secure, except the ones here in this country, porous borders, over 7,500 miles of porous border. Do you know how many people can come through those? I mean, we have terror watch list folks coming in now that have been facial wrecked across the border. And we know that they're in our country, all right? We have Chinese spies who infiltrate our country and in all cities, states, and little communities in order to gain information and to help their CCP, Chinese Communist Party, back at home. Sounds like a sci-fi movie. Sounds like, something you'd see on, cable, streaming, whatever. No, this is real, folks. This is happening now. I'm not making this up. I couldn't make this up. I mean, I have a great imagination, but, I'm just incredulous that so many people in this country are sitting idly by and not doing a thing. You know, they're content in their world. For decades now, we here have been screaming about the injustices, not right, not left. If it's on the right, great. If it's on the left, great. Whatever it is, has nothing to do with a political party, or it didn't up until now. Now, we have a political party that has gone rabid, violent, and it needs people to do back to them what they're doing, since they think it's acceptable. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch those dials. This is Main Street Radio Network.
The Department of Transportation Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration is now accepting applications for 5 federal grant opportunities that enhance commercial motor vehicle safety. I'm Patrick D. Niemans with the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, or FMCSA. Last year, more than $125 million in grant-funded initiatives were awarded to promote access to commercial driver's license programs, prevent human trafficking within the industry, conduct commercial motor vehicle safety-related activities, deploy innovative technology efforts, advance transportation safety research, and more. Together, we can significantly reduce serious injuries and deaths on our nation's roadways. Prospective applicants are encouraged to learn more about these federal grant opportunities and how to apply at fmcsa.dot.gov/grants. Applications are due by April 19th. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation's Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
Calling all accredited institutions of higher education. Federal grant funding may be within your reach. I'm Evangela Hollowell with the U.S. Department of Transportation's Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration and a proud Hampton University alum. FMCSA offers a CMV Operator Safety Training Grant to educational institutions with opportunities to expand the number of commercial driver's license holders possessing enhanced operator safety training. This grant assists historically Black colleges and universities and minority-serving institutions. It also helps future alum like me get involved with the commercial motor vehicle industry. Prospective institutions with accreditation recognized by the U.S. Department of Education are encouraged to visit fmcsa.dot.gov/grants to explore the funding opportunity and learn how to start the application process. Together, we can significantly reduce serious injuries and deaths on our nation's highways. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
The open directory platform provider JumpCloud recently surveyed international IT decision makers. Not surprisingly, one of the topics that was top of mind was AI. Most IT professionals see AI as a positive. However, many are concerned with its implications on security. Most respondents said that AI is outpacing their organization's ability to protect against threats. JumpCloud offers the solution to help manage potential security threats posed by AI. JumpCloud VP Eric Brown.
It's important to be aware of AI's possible security implications so you can take precautions to use these tools safely. JumpCloud offers security without the complexity. We give admins the tools to help users follow best practices, defend against common attack vectors, and eliminate the sprawl of accounts and passwords that can lead to risky access and data breaches.
To learn more about how JumpCloud can help protect your organization, visit jumpcloud.com.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking, but no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show. Jane Silk with you this week. So glad to be back with you. I know it's been a long, long time. But hey, I'm busy. What can I say? I really am. Don't forget to check out our great website, www.mainstreetradionetwork.com, and avail yourself of all the different social media platforms. And you can hear us on so many different platforms. We also podcast our own shows. You can go to the individual shows and click down. There's a live menu, a podcast menu, whatever. There's just plenty of things to whet your appetite and just take a peruse around. Without further ado, I'm going to get to my next guest, but let me just say one thing. Thanks to Joe, who's been taking the reins on the Silk or Joe show. He's doing such a great job on every avenue, and I know you're always in great hands. All right, let's talk to a former advisory board member for former President Donald Trump, and he was on the advisory board of Trump's 2020 campaign. He's a political strategist who's appeared on a number of outlets such as Fox News, Bloomberg, and he has also published in outlets such as Fox Business and Newsmax. Jason Meister. Hi, Jason. Welcome aboard.
Thanks for having me.
I just, gosh, so many questions. Okay, first of all, you know, before the 2020 election and after, I did speak to some campaign folks in the RNC, and I just was quite amazed why Trump did not, I mean, for a man who's supposed to be a man of action and have these advisors, he didn't do very well when it came to picking advisors. Mark Meadows turned out okay. Peter Navarro turned out okay. I've interviewed both of them numerous times. But, you know, if you look at the revolving door of the people that went through the Trump administration and the people he so-called chose as advisors, quite amazing. You know, he went ahead and signed executive orders in 18, 19, and 20, expanding on Obama's orders about election tampering and all kinds of stuff, and insurrection, and calling in the military and having them verify. But he didn't do that. And whether somebody told him not to or shouldn't or what have you, he was still the commander in chief, and he should have done that. And it can go on and on and on, what have you. And while he was there, why didn't we expose all the people and get, while he was president from 16 to 20, all those people that were trying to unseat him before he became president with Russian hoax and all that information, Hunter's laptop, which was shushed because they thought, you know, Biden was going to win, but then Trump won over, I mean, Clinton was going to win, but then, you know, Trump, you know, thrashed her. There was just so much he could have done. He doesn't strike me as a man that listens to other people when there's really important decisions. And I think he let a lot of people down. Just like I think if he doesn't put a female on his ticket in this election, going back on his word, because he did say he would choose a female if he was nominated again. So, Jason, I mean, How is he going forward fixing the things that he did before to reassure folks that it wouldn't happen again?
Sure. And thanks for taking the time. And it's a great question. I think it's important to look in the proper context to some of what you just discussed. Look, the deep state we now know is much deeper than anyone could have imagined. You have to remember that Donald Trump came to power and was never really held a political office before holding the highest office in the world.
No, I know.
The most. And so, you know, I think hindsight's 20/20. I think you learn from your decisions as picking personnel. I agree with you that there were personnel that were chosen in the first administration that I think probably, you know, when you look back at it, were probably not the right choices. I think that going forward, there's a lot of lessons that have been learned. And I think that those lessons that have been learned, you'll see in a Trump 2.0, those mistakes won't be made again. And so I think it's, again, it's the proper context that you have to put to look
no,
at.
No, I'm you know, I've been around the world, I've been, you know, around the block a few times. You know, I speak various languages. I understand what you're saying, and, you know, running, you know, I run a public company. There's just a lot of things I understand about context and 2020. I understand that. But, you know, he saw before he went into office in 2016, the amount of work the Democrats were doing to try to stop him. You know, they've continued through his administration in 16 to 20. They're continuing now. Look at the 91 indictments that they foisted upon him, which, you know, they should be overturned in appeals and or the Supreme Court. It's just a pity taxpayer money has to go for defending or for prosecuting something like the hush money. You know, what are they look at all Biden? They're saying that Biden is not capable of standing trial for having classified documents as a vice president because he hasn't left office yet. And of course, it is a questionable president. There is a big question mark under his presidency, and there always will be in history. And most people are realizing now, after the Heartland report came out this year about the cheating that went on and the fraudulent votes that were counted, there are so many questions about 2020. There should have been a recount for 2020. And of course, there wasn't, because unfortunately, too many on the GOP sat on their hands and closed their mouths and let it happen. And because of that, you know, the GOP need to start. Don't you believe the GOP need to start fighting fire with fire? Look at what the Democrats have done in the 3 years. You know, they've turned the IRS now into a spying organization, you know, that is working in secret. You can't, the DOJ has been weaponized, the FBI. I mean, the FBI, of all places, installing pipe bombs during the January 6th. I mean, we were supposed to have Jake Lang, a political prisoner, from prison. They put him on lockdown. They wouldn't allow him to call, speak to us today. So, you know, all of this is happening. I mean, why are the GOP, and I have no party affiliation. I go to the person who speaks to my morals and values at the time and who I believe would carry out what they say they're going to do, okay? Because I'm not a follower. I can't follow blindly. It's just not in me to do that. So do you believe that, you know, we see him come into office if that's going to happen? Now, what happens? Do they have a contingency plan for cheating?
I think that the only way to combat the cheating, and I think cheating happens in every election. I think there's fraud in every election. There's fraud in every election, and unfortunately, that's the reality of the world that we live in. However, when you weaponize a pandemic and force universal mail-in ballots across multiple states and change the way in which you conduct elections, you multiply that fraud by 100x. And that's what happened in 2020. And so the only way to combat that in 2024 is too big to rig. You need to have not a landslide election. You need an electoral avalanche. And I think that that is what we will achieve. And I think that's what we're shooting for. And I think that it's a very viable option. When you look at black voters, you look at suburban women, you look at Hispanic voters, Trump is polling better than he did in 2015.
Wait a minute. Let me ask you one thing real quick. Jason, what about what they're saying? The Democrats are saying that Trump has lost the ultra wealthy, the uber wealthy, and now have turned to the Democrat Party, and the ones earning under 100,000 are now into the GOP. Do they take into consideration over 1 million voters have left the Democratic Party since Creepy Joe came in, and over 5+ million have left blue states in that time? And some of those states that they have moved to are not blue states. They have, you know, settled in red states, and, you know, so and even purple states. So have they taken that into consideration?
Sure. And I agree with everything you just said. I mean, Trump essentially gut renovated the Republican Party into a MAGA, America First, workaday party. The working class, middle class in this country that made this country great, that's the party of America First. Now, having said that, there are a lot of very wealthy people clearly that understand where this country is and the future of it is in weighing in the balance. That's why Donald Trump was able to raise $50+ million
one night
in Palm Beach, which doubled what Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden were able to raise at Radio City Music Hall. So clearly there
at the same time there was a wake for a New York City police officer.
That's right, which Donald Trump attended.
Yes, he did. He did actually
and
attend
paid his
that.
Respects to that family because those.
Well, he's a man in blue. He's always. You can't take that. Look, I say a lot of things about Donald Trump. I'm mad at him for a lot of reasons because I think he could have done a lot more. But the man is the everyday man. Okay, he, you know, despite all his money, he does believe the everyday people deserve a chance. Jason Meister, I hope we get to talk to you again, formally on the advisory board of the President Trump's 2020 campaign. Thanks for being with us. Stay tuned. There's more. Grover Norquist coming up.
Calling all organizations responsible for implementing all a part of a state's commercial driver's license program and agencies that provide commercial motor vehicle operator safety training. Federal grant funding may be within your reach. I'm Nikki McDavid, Commercial Driver's License Division Chief with the U.S. Department of Transportation's Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, or FMCSA. The CDL program implementation and the CMB Operator Safety Training Grant programs help pave the way for safer roadways and a safer transportation environment. Prospective applicants are encouraged to learn more about these funding opportunities at fmcsa.dot.gov/grants. Together, we can prevent crashes, serious injuries, and deaths on our nation's highways. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
A new minimally invasive treatment option for prostate cancer shows successful outcomes without the side effects that often come with surgery or radiation. Prostate cancer affects 1 in 8 men in their lifetimes. The success of MRI-guided transurethral ultrasound ablation, TULSA, represents a revolution in whole-gland treatment for prostate cancer. Patients now have an alternative treatment option that has a favorable side effect profile compared to surgery, radiation, and thermal therapy. In the TULSA procedure, a small catheter-like device is inserted through the urethra into the prostate, where the tissue is heated, killing the cancer cells while protecting the sensitive nerves around the prostate. Dr. Stephen S. Raymond, Professor of Radiology, Urology, and Surgery at the David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA.
This image-guided therapy maximizes our ability to kill cancer cells while minimizing collateral damage to the prostate to achieve the ultimate trifecta in prostate cancer treatment, full local cancer control while maintaining urinary continence and potency.
For more information, go to sirmeeting.org, sponsored by Society of Interventional Radiology.
The results are in. In a nationwide double-blind taste test, Applebee's Classic Buffalo Boneless Wings reign supreme as America's favorite boneless wings. To celebrate, Applebee's is offering boneless wings for 50 cents each for a limited time, available for dine-in, to-go, or delivery. Head to your neighborhood Applebee's or visit applebees.com or mobile app to celebrate with this unbelievable deal. Price, participation, and selection may vary. Now that's eating good in the neighborhood. Sponsored by Applebee's.
John Nichols was making major strides in his career when at age 32, a water skiing accident left him critically injured. Fortunately, he had disability insurance.
For me, disability insurance was the safety net. I did not have to worry about the bills. I did not have the financial concerns.
Thanks to disability insurance that John had through work and on his own, he continued to receive an income until he could return to work. Learn more at protectyourpaycheck.org, a message from the Nonprofit Life Foundation.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy, and I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much, from the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between. It really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi,
it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show. So glad to be with you. I know it's been a long time, but here I am. And just like I said, so glad to be sitting in this seat with you. Don't forget, check out our great website, www.mainstreetradionetwork.com. Avail yourself of all the different social media places to hear us. So many I can't even mention. Plus, click on the live show menu. You can hear us. Former shows, live shows, 24/7, whatever your heart desires. It's just almost impossible to say what there is to say in the segments that we have because there is just so much going on. So I'm going to try to truncate it. If I can. But let's get right to it. My next guest, as I tickled before, is Grover Norquist, an old friend of the show. He's president of taxpayer advocacy group Americans for Tax Reform, also known as ATR. He's written several books, and no wonder they're so popular. His most recent book is called End the IRS Before It Ends Us. And I mean, that's so simple. I'm a fair tax gal, actually. We're here to talk about so much about the Government Accountability Office, which these days is really a joke. I also want to talk to Grover about the fact that the IRS is a sprawling mega agency. Okay. And with all the different civil divisions it has, last year it just referred only 157 cases for criminal investigation out of more than 200 million tax forms. Okay. That's your money. Their budget is like huge. Okay. And that's your money at work out of everything. And is it any wonder that the fraud, waste, and abuse in this country keeps going up? And when the IRS was changed in like 1997, there was a period there that Charles Rosati, he changed a lot of away and more transparency. But then you fast forward till today, and that changed about 3 years ago, where now you have IRS agents who are allowed to stay at home, you know, being caught golfing, you know, and spending taxpayer money while they're not doing the taxpayer's duty. Grover, I mean, I just want to know, I mean, what's happened to the Republican Party? Because really, the voices are so little, they're not loud enough. But the Democratic Party, of course, they're able to have changed so much in such a short time and turn this country in less than three years from what used to be a prosperous country into a country that buys oil now from its enemies. And, you know, we're sitting here wondering when Iran is going to launch something, since it said beware, attack could be imminent. So what's going on here?
Well, we have lots of challenges. One is obviously that the Democrats have the presidency and they are running out executive orders mile a minute. Trump was asking to get executive orders to make the government more limited to deregulate, the bureaucracy stalled, would call the Washington Post. And so the Washington Post would spend several weeks attacking something before it ever came out.
But who cares? Why shouldn't he have cared about that? Why shouldn't it should have just been it should have just been implemented regardless of what the Washington Post said? I mean,
right. But what you have is not the Washington Post.
All of
the press out explaining to the world that they're out to do something bad, which isn't true. So in effect, if you're having a campaign every time you're doing one of these things, it slows things down. And the bureaucracy itself, you can't fire these people. They can just decide. There was an article in the Washington Post where one of the bureaucrats, putting his name out there, claimed to be a big, important Trump appointment. Turns out he wasn't, because it did come out later who he was. But, you know, he just said, you know, we're just not going to do what he wants. And that was true at the EPA. A lot of the worst agencies that are now kicking out many, many very expensive rules just slowed everything down. Obviously, the Senate did Democrats slowed allowing people to get put into those jobs so that a lot of the people that needed to be there to help Trump and the Republicans govern the federal government didn't get in for the first year or two.
They need to change the Holman rule. And folks, if you don't know what the Holman rule is something where it was a Supreme Court decision where government employees can, you know, think of their jobs like personal property. And I mean, oh my God, Grover, you know, if there is, I mean, and who knows what's going to happen, because look, I don't care. And I'm not saying this because, you know, I believe that it should have been overturned last time. I believe that there was fundamental cheating last go around. I know that for a fact, actually. And, you know, you look at the Heartland report, you look at, you know, what last year Arizona came out with the 460 something thousand votes that were fraudulent and all these other places that are coming out about it. Connecticut overturned a small little election last year because the judge said people were cheating, Democrats were cheating. So we know it happened. Okay. So what happens this year? I mean, if we by any chance have some kind of semblance of on the same page lawmakers, could we get certain things changed in the next 4 years, such as, you know, where federal government employees can't stay on the taxpayer tit forever and a day and can never be fired unless they actually are put in jail for something criminal? And, you know, some of them do that every day and are still walking the streets.
There is one of it. There's a law, federal law, that Jimmy Carter signed back in the late 70s. And that said, you know what? We think people in the federal government should be able to set up a union, even though they have civil service protection, you know, which is very strong. It's very difficult to fire somebody in the federal government, never mind a union. And so they passed that law. They said, but not the Army, Navy, Air Force, not the IRS, not the FBI, not the CIA, or any other agency that the president says is important for national security. I think it's very important for the president to say that all of the civilian employees of the Pentagon, there's 700,000. And I talked to the former comptroller there, Dov Zakheim, who told me that, you know, they really only need about 200,000 more people than they need. That's what they had at the height of the Cold War, when we had many bigger army, bigger navy and so on.
Yep.
We should downsize that dramatically, but you can't do that until you get rid of the union and say civil service is fine, but a union on top of it's not.
All right. End the IRS before it ends us. Trust me, somebody who has spent his career dissecting the government, especially the IRS for reform, you'll want to get it. Thanks so much. This is Jane Silk for the Main Street Radio Network.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.